4 million people on parole or probation. Matt O'Neill, director of Life on Parole, documentary by Frontline with the New York Times. Shaila Dewan is the criminal justice editor at the New York Times. You can go to democracynow.org to see all the links. 10 o'clock tonight in your local area on PBS. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Nermeen Sheikh, Dina Guzder. I'm Amy Goodman. With Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is also available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Board meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month, starting at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO is getting ready for our annual book and record sale. Your unwanted books, records, and DVDs are treasures to someone else. Help them find new homes while raising money for your community radio station, KBOO. Bring them to KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We are accepting donations of books, vinyl records, CDs, and DVDs through Friday, August 11th. Please, no home-recorded cassettes, VHS tapes, or mold. The KBOO Book and Record Sale will be held on Saturday, August 19th. If you have questions or want to arrange for a pickup of donations, please email Ani at volunteer@kboo.org. Or phone her at 503-231-8032, extension 213.
KBOO Portland.
Good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
It's hot. My house is being repaired and painted and things, and it's chaotic, and I'm going crazy, and I'm taking a friend to have a call and poking up the you-know-what.
First world problems, Joe. First world problems.
Personal, no one cares. No, no one cares.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. This is KBOO.
Yes, 90.7 FM on your radio dial. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. I'm Abe. That's Joe over there, the guy with all the problems.
I got a lot of problems. I got a lot of problems.
Yeah. Got 99 problems.
231-8187.
You know what I love about doing the show with you? Well, what? There's many things I love about it.
Oh, I'm glad there's something.
Any pop culture reference from about the past 40 years, I can drop and it goes right by you.
I don't pay any attention.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I'm an obscurist.
Yep. See, but that that does me the benefit. It makes me look cool and hip in comparison to you. Which is good for me because...
Am I being insulted here? What is going on?
Sort of. Because I don't generally move through life being considered cool or hip. So, you know, I'll take what I can get.
So, in other words, you're an obscurantist and elitist, and I am an obscurantist and elitist with a much stronger traditional background in the social sciences.
You're a better educated obscurantist and elitist than me?
Well, yes. I am.
Okay.
That's a true fact.
Yes, it is.
It's not your fault.
Oh, I know.
You know, you didn't go to Columbia. You didn't go to Reed. You didn't go to any of the fancy schmancy places.
Listen, listeners, as Joe defends his background.
Yes. I'm unashamed of it.
Okay. 503-231-8187 is the number to call to take part in today's conversation. What is today's conversation about, Joe?
Oh, it's all about the Trumpy disaster.
The Trumpy disaster?
Yeah, it's very Trumpy.
The adjective Trumpy, can you just define that for me, please?
Well, it's egotistical mania, self-serving mania that only serves one's own interests and the interests of the class of the worst kind of capitalists.
So tell me if I'm using I'm going to use Trumpy in a sentence. You tell me if I'm correct.
Okay.
Okay. To introduce the show, Joe described the chaos in his life in a Trumpy fashion.
No.
That is not I missed the boat.
My problems are so working class. You wouldn't believe it.
Why don't you use Trumpy in a sentence?
I am the Vice President of the United States. Okay. And I make a statement that tobacco does not kill, and I own more than 100 stores called Tobacco Road, which sell tobacco.
Yeah, I didn't hear the word Trumpy in that sentence.
No, but it is Trumpy. It's self-serving. It's egotistical. It's a lie. All Trumpy things.
Oh, okay. So you're saying by virtue of the fact that Vice President Mike Pence owns a chain of tobacco stores.
And says tobacco does not kill.
That is a Trumpy statement.
That's a Trumpy statement, yeah.
Okay, I'm beginning to understand.
You're getting it now?
I'm beginning to understand. Okay. Now.
Okay. There are a lot of Trumpy things. Trumpy example is, of course my son made deals with the Russians. That's normal.
Yeah, anybody would have done it.
That's Trumpy.
That's Trumpy.
Okay. Or let's do away with multicultural education because it's un-American. That's Trumpy.
Okay. And saying when you're a celebrity, you can do anything and
you can grab any person of the opposite sex in an inappropriate way without a permission.
You can grab them by the lady parts.
That's Trumpy.
Okay. I'm beginning to understand. Thank you for that.
It's a new word. I just invented it now.
We are going to be talking about all things Trumpy today.
Yeah,
if you're
bored with Trumpy stuff, maybe this isn't the show for you.
Now, I imagine there are those people out there bored with Trumpy stuff. But
I think a lot of people are really bored with Trump and Trumpy stuff.
Well, I would suggest that that might not be the right way to approach the Trumpy stuff.
No, I absolutely agree.
I think
now we're going to get serious. This is a serious part of the show. Go ahead.
The Trumpy stuff ought to really demand a lot of our attention. Because
I think you're
right.
It's
scary.
In fact, not only do we have to pay attention, but we have to become activists. All of us, everyone, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or a socialist or any kind of leftist or any kind of neutralist, you must absolutely pay attention because this is the most threatening situation we have ever faced as a nation, legally speaking. We have a Congress that is more interested in party than nation. We have a president who is psychotic and egotistical and absolutely out of it and doesn't know anything. We have a Supreme Court that is designed to take away our rights. All of that is real, and that has to be faced, and not just being known, but it requires actual activity, everything from being in the street to writing letters to screaming and yelling to making trouble.
Yeah. So what we'd like to hear from you today, first of all, let me back up just a second. So we're going to make an attempt today to catalog a list of all things Trumpy.
Yeah, and we're not even going to be able to get them all.
No, we're not.
We don't have time.
No, we don't have time. There are too many Trumpy things.
Absolutely.
Right. So what we would like to hear from you...
It's a Trumpy world after all.
It is a Trumpy world.
Yes.
We want to hear...
Small Trumpy world. Go ahead.
It's hard to get your tiny Trumpy hands around it all.
Yeah, really. Those tiny hands and the image of them grabbing at women
is really
creepy.
Enough.
Creepy.
All right, okay. So we want to hear from you those Trumpy things that you find to be the most egregious or worrisome or the most in need.
Or the funniest.
Or the funniest.
Yeah.
Or the most pathetic.
Yeah, pathetic is
good.
Or
that make you the most angry.
Yes.
Did
you see
like
him
that.
With the French president's lady, his behavior there?
Tell
Whoa!
Me. He told her what great physical shape she was in. And
I
then
know.
He turned to the French president and said, isn't she in great shape?
Oh, my God.
That's pretty Trumpy.
That is very Trumpy.
Yeah, that's like Exhibit A.
Yeah, really.
Okay. 503-231-8187. I'll get this started.
Yes.
Trump has undercut the integrity of the U.S. electoral process.
Right.
In a number of ways.
List a few.
I will list a few. I'll save the Russia stuff for last.
Oh, yeah, that's special.
He has on many occasions falsely claimed that millions of people cast votes illegally in the 2016 right. election.
No evidence whatsoever.
None. And why has he claimed this? Because I think it really hurts his little Trumpy ego that more people voted for Secretary Clinton than for him.
Right. Even though he had the help of the Russians, and right. she was not so great.
Let's talk about the Russians then. He also actively solicited and took advantage of Russia's willingness to intervene in the United States elections.
Right.
Now, it's still a matter of some debate, the extent to which Russia actually had an influence on the elections. But we do know that they hacked the Democratic National Committee's server. We do know
that he encouraged them to do that.
You know that he publicly encouraged them to do right. that. And as we've been learning in drips and drabs over the last week and a half or so, we know that his son, Donald Trumpy Jr., Trump the Lesser.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Trump the Lesser.
Trump
yes.
the Lesser.
Oh, my God. Can you be lesser yeah. than that? All right.
And his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, met with...
Whose father was a gangster, and he seems very much like one, too.
In prison.
Yeah.
Father's in prison.
You can't not, sue me
not
on that
for,
one.
Not for being a gangster, but just being a crook.
Okay. Okay. What's the difference?
Well, I wouldn't say the elder Kushner is an organized crime figure.
Oh, why my?
Okay, well, that's a story for another day.
We're talking Jersey here.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Joe just disparaged an entire state, but that's okay. Yeah.
It's politics.
We know that a former Russian intelligence official was in that meeting that Trump the Lesser took. We know that a Russian lawyer with ties to the Kremlin was in that meeting.
No, a Russian lawyer who denies ties to the Kremlin.
Yeah, but we know has ties to the Kremlin.
I love that.
And the story advanced by Trump the Lesser has changed several times over the last couple of weeks. We still don't know the extent of everybody who was in that meeting, but it don't look good.
And we know that the son-in-law and the Trump mm-hmm. Jr. Had contacts which they did not list in order to get clearances.
Yes. We do know that the Russian government divulged the trove of Hillary's emails that was subsequently released by WikiLeaks.
Right.
So we know all this happened. We know that Trump in public encouraged them to do that. The evidence is mounting that Trump in private encouraged them to do that. And again, we don't know the extent to which this affected the outcome of the election.
No way to tell.
No way to tell. But given the results, first of all, that Trump won without winning the popular vote. Secondly, that his margin of victory was very small. And thirdly, the timing of these events over the course of the campaign, including, although I think this is an unconnected event, the statement released by James Comey just days before the election.
It is unconnected.
It is unconnected.
That's just Comey's incompetence.
Yeah, well, associated, but not directly connected, yeah. because that was about the email situation.
And it's about the FBI, a terrible agency throughout its history.
Indeed. And in the as this, the fallout from all this has taken place, he has also publicly denounced the expertise and the findings of America's various intelligence agencies, which have independently corroborated Russia's intervention in the election.
Is that enough or more?
What's that?
Is that enough or more?
One more caveat or coda on this. Coda. I know there's a temptation. Amongst people on the left to dismiss Russia's intervention, saying that, Hillary can't blame her loss on Russia's intervention. She was an awful candidate. If only somebody had been, the Democrats had nominated somebody who was a true progressive, on and on and on and on. Well, all those things may or may not be true to a certain extent, but it's also true that a hostile foreign power intervened in our election, and that, to our knowledge, is unprecedented.
Well, they also intervened to use Bernie, literally use him to attack Hillary.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's pretty creepy.
It is pretty creepy.
Okay, so you're saying just in terms of the vast notion of his legitimacy, he has none.
He has none.
Okay.
Yeah. He was the duly elected president under our electoral system as it is currently constituted.
Right, and a system designed to make sure that the ruling class rules.
Yeah, indeed.
Okay.
So in that respect, I guess the system worked exactly as it was designed to do.
That's scary.
Absent the interference from a hostile power.
Right.
We got a phone. Let's take a call.
Yeah.
Who's up? Mike, good morning.
Good morning. Are you there?
Yep.
Yeah, we're here. Are you there?
Now you guys are talking Trumpism, sir. I think you forgot some. What about his total control and of the media, the internet? Why couldn't Hillary get on, even if she said bad things? What about Bernie? They couldn't get any airtime. Now, you know, I called you to talk about something completely different.
Well, let me just say...
You brought that up.
Well, let me just say, I don't think the media's behavior was much influenced by their desire to have Trump be president. It really isn't.
Well, that's shocking, because it seems like even if she'd got up and said something stupid, we'd have heard her. We couldn't get her. We couldn't hear her.
Well, and in fairness, as far as I could tell, and I did listen to her quite a lot, she never said anything stupid. Her failing was...
No, of course she did.
Well, let me finish. Her failing is a lack of charismatic power. And that's where...
Sorry, we had to let you go. Who's next? Steve, good morning.
Well, good morning. I just wanted to remind you all that this is Made in America Week.
Yay!
Hey!
And all of his products that he sells are made in America.
No, no, they're not. They're made in China or elsewhere.
What about Ivanka?
Well, yeah, her stuff's made elsewhere as well.
Oh, John.
Yeah, well, we don't know where she was actually made.
So much for Made in America Trumpism.
Yeah, really.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, listen, thanks for the call.
Is this silly season show or something? Oh, I have some stuff before we go to the next caller.
Okay? Okay, I got more stuff too, so go ahead.
Okay, this is just typical, but petty. Both Tom Price and Vice President Pence, a holier-than-thou Christian, if there ever was one, who will not be in the same room with a woman without his wife present or something. Weird. Weird.
He's completely irresistible.
Well, but yeah, I know. And that's why he might grab. So that's why.
The sheer animal magnetism.
Yeah, really powerful. So he once said in 2001, actually, we have the date and everything, that tobacco does not kill. Now, coincidentally, he owns more than 100 tobacco stores called Tobacco Road,
right,
which is the name of a interesting kind of semi for its day obscene book about poor people.
Well, right, that's what we talked about at the outset.
Yeah,
right. Mike Pence the hypocrite.
Yeah,
surprise, surprise, surprise.
Okay, now you have more stuff.
I have more stuff, and we should mention also that you can always call 503-231-8187. If you don't want to call, you can write to us at the Facebook page, facebook.com/Abe and Joe, or over the Twitter wire at HonestAbe72. Those are good ways to take part in the conversation.
Yes.
So we got more stuff.
Okay.
All right. So we talked about his undermining the integrity, such as it is, of our electoral system.
Such as it is. I want to mention one thing in that context. We're coming up to the time when, by the Constitution, that's every 10 years, there has to be a census. And the Trump administration so far has shown no interest in putting together the team that can do that responsibly. And I think that's not an accident.
Yep. Interesting that you mentioned the census. And I just want to talk about this briefly so we don't get derailed. The first census that was conducted, 2010, well, the only census during Obama's two terms, 2010.
Yeah.
Do you remember the negative commentary from the right around that time?
No.
Sarah Palin was going on TV saying, look, what is this government intrusion into your life? Why does the government need to know all this information? Just don't give it to them.
Well, she's one of the dummier people we've ever had.
Well, she was, but this was a major thread of conservative commentary at the time.
Right.
Don't consent to this big government intrusion into your lives. Don't tell the census what it's in the Constitution. We do it every 10 years. All right. Okay. So, secondly, we just talked about electoral integrity. Secondly, Trump has repeatedly attacked democratic institutions in this country, such as the free press and the independent judiciary.
Right. Well, and by his appointments, done that all over, including,
yeah,
most significantly to my mind, the education department.
Yes, he has. Now, say what you will about the press establishment in this country. Lord knows that it could do a better job at what it does. And we've mentioned that over and over and over and over
and
again.
It's certainly owned by ruling,
right,
classers.
Right. And that deficiency drives a lot of people to news sources like KBOO.
Hooray.
I think we must acknowledge that.
Okay.
However, it is also true at the same time that there is good, truthful, corroborated reporting happening in the mainstream media.
Absolutely.
Nevertheless, Trump has repeatedly dismissed this credible, truthful, corroborated, well-sourced reporting as fake news.
Right.
Thus undermining the role of the Fourth Estate as a crucial pillar of a free society.
Well, in fact, he has made an effort to delegitimize every legitimate institution that doesn't happen to fit his model.
Right, or happens to report on or rule against him.
Right.
There was a judge of Mexican-American descent whose judgment Trump questioned because he was of Mexican-American descent.
And because he ruled against Trump.
Another circuit court's judge based in Hawaii was denounced and dismissed by Trump because he was based in Hawaii.
Which isn't part of the U.S. Oh, wait, maybe it is.
Yeah, it could be.
Could it be a state?
Yeah, well, that secret Muslim Kenyan guy also came from Hawaii. So
who could forget that?
Right.
Well, but he didn't really. He came from Kenya. Remember that Trump built his rep in politics by falsely and unreasonably attacking the citizenship of the President of the United States prior to himself.
Which is not just ignorant, petty, and mean, but just reprehensible.
Well, I mean, also who does stupid.
That? Yeah.
Stupid.
Okay, so he's undermined the electoral system, and he's attacked the legitimacy of our democratic institutions, most notably the press and the judiciary.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones.
Okay.
Who's next? Harvey, good morning.
Good morning. Well, for your amusement, I'd like to tell you why I think that Trump and his administration can't get off of fossil fuels. In fact, they're pushing it.
Yeah, that's an important issue. Go ahead.
I think it's because he's a Venusian.
Oh, Venusian!
Yes, they're from the planet Venus, and Venus had a terrible runaway greenhouse effect.
That's true.
Where,
yeah.
That's actually true, we think. Yeah. Yeah.
The atmosphere got overloaded with carbon, and right now, lead runs like water on the surface. The scientists tell us that it was cool at one time. They had oceans, but the oceans boiled off. So I think the Venusians made a jump to Earth, but that it was too cold on our planet. So they solicited the human race, the us Earthlings, to fossilize the atmosphere by using coal, oil, natural gas, nuclear.
What a creative approach.
It's all a Venusian plot.
My goodness, smart monkeys.
It is, and it's getting a little too hot for us now, so we're thinking of making the jump to Mars and terraforming Mars, which will put the Martians under a lot of pressure. So basically, we're going to do to the Martians what the Venusians did to us.
Okay, we love it, but we have to stop to go on to other things. It's a great interplanetary conspiracy.
Okay, well, it's imperative that we go on, that we divest from fossil fuels and reinvest in renewables if we want to cool our planet.
Yeah, and I'm glad, absolutely, and you're right about that. And I also want to mention two things of great importance. From the Russian point of view, and from the oil industry's, the petroleum industry's point of view, the warming of the Arctic is in their interest. A, they can get at the oil and natural gas that's there. B, they can put their ships, and the Russians are putting together a modern fleet, including nuclear-powered ships, to use that route for their trade. And in fact, it helps to explain why the fossil fuel industry in the form of Exxon, et cetera, seem to be so much dragging their heels and often are actually very much opposed to the development of solar and wind power.
Yeah.
I like that because that's a real conspiracy.
Indeed. Okay, should we move on?
I think so.
Okay. So we've talked about undermining the electoral system and democratic institutions. He really, thirdly, has no commitment to basic standards of transparency and ethics and governance.
No.
Virtually
he's a sleazeball crook. Let's say it.
Sleazeball crook. And that's just not hyperbole. And I confess, we resort to hyperbole sometimes.
Occasionally.
You know, once in a while.
It can be a little silly, you know.
Creative exaggeration. It's rhetorical.
Not in this case.
Yeah, he's a crook. Not just since he entered his brief life in politics,
right.
His entire career. And I encourage you to go back and read some of the reporting that went on during the campaign. He became known for shortchanging contractors who worked for him,
right.
Refusing to pay them, basically refusing to pay them for work they did, and then lawyering up and daring them to come after him, knowing that they could not afford to expend the kind of money it would take to beat him in court.
But really, is it his fault? I mean, after all, his father was a total racist SOB who wouldn't allow persons of color to be in any of his public housing.
Yes. In fact, Trump, both senior and, well, I don't want to call him junior. Well, Fred Trump was Trump's the president.
Fred
and Donald.
Fred the racist father.
Yes, both faced indictment from the Federal Department of Justice for racially exclusionary housing policies in buildings that they own.
Yeah, and I want to say everything I'm saying and that Abe is saying here, while we may be kind of making jokes of it, it's all fact.
It is all fact. Except for this right here, which is speculation.
Okay.
I wonder, because Trump's father, Fred, was reportedly a jerk, a very stern guy, and very, very seldom offered any sort of affirmation or love to his children.
Oh, so he was. So Trump is the way he is because he was abused?
Maybe. I don't know. Oh. But I think one of the things that animates him is this need... need to be loved and approved, and he needs this adulation. And I think that he desperately wants to feel included among the ranks of the elite, particularly the Manhattan elite, to which he was always an outsider looking in.
Yeah, and they are stuffy, to be fair.
They are stuffy, and they never accepted him.
No.
So, again, I'm no psychoanalyst.
I am.
No, you're not. But I suspect Trump has unresolved daddy issues. There it is.
Ooh.
Okay.
Ooh.
So, he doesn't adhere to basic standards of transparency and government ethics. He still has not released his tax returns. Still.
Wait, I forgot. He didn't release his taxes?
No.
Oh, he didn't.
Not. 6 months into his presidency.
He never did.
He has never release them.
How come
for a long time he said he wasn't going to do it because he was under audit, and he's even abandoned that pretense.
Right.
So one of the
things we know about him is he's a liar.
He's a liar.
Okay.
His administration will not make public the visitor logs to the White House, so we don't know who's been visiting him there.
Right.
Why? How often? Or for how long? We don't know any of that.
Right. Or whether they speak Russian as their first language.
Right. He has refused to divest from any of the Trump-branded business enterprises that exist all over the world. None of them.
Which is not technically required by law, but it's customary.
No, it is.
It is required by law.
The Emoluments Clause of the Constitution.
Right.
Not required by law, but by Constitution.
Oh, my goodness.
And I would wager, although I'm not a constitutional lawyer, and if there's one listening, please call us up. Does there exist a U.S. statute to reinforce the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution?
That's a good question.
For example,
if there is a lawyer, we'd love to hear from them.
Is there a law that describes criminal penalties for violating the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution?
I actually don't think so. I don't think so, but I don't know.
I don't think so either, and in a little while I want to get into the technicality of why that's so.
You know, I'm not a lawyer, but I play one on the radio.
Yeah, you play a lot of things on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
So he has refused, and this one rankles me probably the most. He has refused to divest of any of his profit-making enterprises around the world, and he continues to profit, and his family continues to profit by virtue of the fact that he is president of the United States.
Well,
there's example after example of this.
And I have another Trumpoid fact. Prince, the famous operator of the, what is it called?
Prince, the electric guitar. He was great.
Not the purple guy. The other guy. The guy who had a big
Blackwater?
Army. Blackwater.
Yeah.
The guy who has a big army of his own and shot up people needlessly.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, his sister is the new Secretary of Education, and she believes in fundamentally in private schools. And at the same time that that's happening in the state of Arizona under this new cultural model, they are doing away with all books that make reference to minorities or talk about the history of other peoples other than Anglo-Saxons. That's real.
It's astonishing.
Yeah.
It really is. We could do a whole show on that.
We will do a whole show on
okay.
that. Okay. But I wanted to mention it because it's really important.
So Trump's lack of transparency and ethics, and this goes on and on. Taxpayer dollars have paid for his children to travel and paid for Secret Service details to protect them as they travel abroad to advance the Trump organization's business interests.
That's right.
I don't know how much more blatant you can be than that. I know how you could be more blatant than that. His daughter Ivanka has curried favor with high-level foreign dignitaries to obtain trademarks in places like China for garments made with her name on them.
Garments made by workers who have no control over. They can't bargain for their wages. They have no control of their hours. They have no control of their lives.
This is a crime family.
Par excellence.
Par excellence that has turned the presidency of the United States into a giant money hose that they are spraying themselves with.
Careful. Getting a little... never mind.
Hose with money.
Hose with
money coming out.
Yeah,
it's a useful metaphor.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay. I'm comfortable with that.
Now, we talked a little bit about, you know, are there statutes that reinforce the Emoluments Clause? And both of our educated guests, it's probably not, because it's a constitutional issue. Why do we make that distinction? Well, because right now there is no legal remedy for Donald Trump. Let that sink in.
Is that true?
It is. There is no legal remedy for Donald Trump. It's my understanding that under very, very few conditions can criminal charges be brought against a sitting president.
But he can be impeached.
Yes, but that is not a legal remedy. That is a political remedy.
You're right.
That is described in the Constitution in some detail.
Right.
And it's happened twice in our history. The impeachment of President Trump is the only solution we have. There's no legal remedy, only a political one. And where does that rest? That rests on the moral rectitude of the House Republicans.
Oh, my God.
Are they going to impeach Trump anytime soon?
Oh, my God.
No.
They are two things that are interesting. Number one, they're more interested in having party power in the management of government than they are in the health, welfare, and good service of the United States government. And they can't pass a lousy set of changes that could be made to make the health care, the Obamacare thing, work, and they don't have a plan for an alternative system.
No, they don't.
They're incompetent.
Yeah, they're incompetent and they're malicious, and apparently they are not guided by anything like a sense of ethics or a conscience of any kind.
I want to be clear, and everybody needs to know this. If you are a person alive in the United States today and you get old, watch out, because what these people want to do is take away the health and welfare of you. It's a direct attack to shift money from healthcare to the rich who are already rich.
Yeah. And we should add, this is nothing new. President Bush the Dumber tried to privatize Social Security.
We say the lesser. We like to try to be polite. Bush the lesser.
No, I don't feel a need to be polite to him.
Okay.
In fact, in my mind, in terms of worst U.S. president, he's still the champ.
Oh, I don't know.
No.
Jackson was really awful.
No, I don't think he was as bad as W.
Well, I don't know. Jackson, you know, he moved all these legitimate nations away from their homelands and put them in Arizona desert-y
country. Yes, he did. Okay, Jackson is a contender. I still give the crown to W. But
he was Jackson, big slaveholder.
Yes,
you know.
Yes. The point I'm trying to make is Trump is awful. Trump is uniquely embarrassing in the annals of U.S. presidents. The discomfort that he inflicts has a visceral character that I didn't find under W. But until Trump can come up with something that tops the Iraq War, the
Cheney's War.
Cheney's War, because we as a nation have yet to come to a reckoning morally or fiscally with the Iraq War. Until Trump can top that, W is still the champ.
Right. And the press here is very, this is where they really fail. They failed to link up Cheney's war with the rise of ISIS, which is obvious.
There's some in the press who have made that connection, but more of them need to.
Yeah.
Because right now, you're right. If you watch or you consume mainstream news, it's as if ISIS arose in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Whoa, all of a sudden, we've got this problem.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they blame Muslims. Okay. Let's go to the phones.
Let's do that. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Well, you brought up a couple of points. One is calling the lesser, as in Trump the lesser. Mm-hmm. And that bothers me because that implies that there's also a Trump the greater.
I agree. I'll watch that. I think Abe has the better, Trump the dumber.
I prefer the younger and the elder, but or Baby Bush and Daddy Bush, for example.
Okay, whatever.
Trump minor and Trump major?
And you also brought up an interesting question of whether an individual can be charged with violating the Constitution the same way they can be charged with violating the law. And that's probably well known, but I don't happen to know it.
Okay.
And the other thing I wanted to comment on, and I'm interested in your comments, is the Trumpy. Trump, like Sarah Palin, is very kind of darkly enjoyable to make fun of.
Yes.
And that kind of distracts from the very serious, dry policy.
Actually, I agree with you. I think all of us who are would be called by those people elitist, and it's not inappropriate to acknowledge that we know a lot of stuff that they don't. In fact, we have been very arrogant in this situation, and we are paying a strong price for that arrogance. Because what has happened in America over the last, since President Clinton, is we've seen the destruction of the power of organized labor. We've seen the destruction of all kinds of communities that were progressive. And it's all been allowed because it seems like liberals are in charge. And this is a big mistake. It isn't about liberal or conservative. It's actually about a pathway that can lead ultimately to an absolute fascism. That's what I think.
I'm afraid that the reason that it seems like liberals are in control is the cultural side that sort of people pay attention to, as in, you know, who can use what toilet, and that gets people
right, and who can love
excited.
Who and so on. Yeah, you're
and,
right.
And so, you know, when that's in the news, you think, oh gosh, liberals are running the deal, where all the other policy issues and, you know, all four branches of government are in conservative or whatever you want to call it, reactionary
right.
hands.
Well, Bertolt Brecht, just to be a little academic here, the playwright and poet, said, first feed the face, then talk of freedom. What's happened in America is there's been a great ignoring of the fact that the working class, and by the way, I don't believe this nonsense of a middle class for a minute, the working class have suffered a serious actual loss in income over the last 20 years. And that's real.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, thanks for the call, man.
Well, thank you for being there.
Okay.
Okay, so on the question of can a president be criminally indicted while in office?
Okay.
Here's the New York Times, May 29th of this year.
Okay.
The context is that the president fired James Comey, the right. director of the FBI, while he was the target of a criminal investigation.
He, the president, was the target of a criminal investigation.
So is that obstruction of justice is the question.
Well, it is.
Yeah. So the question is, would the Constitution allow the special counsel right now, Mr. Mueller, who's investigating this affair, yeah. would it allow him to indict Trump if he, Mueller, finds evidence of criminal conduct? According to the Times, the prevailing view among most legal experts is no. They say the president is immune from prosecution so long as he is in office. The remedy to presidential misconduct is impeachment, according to the Constitution.
Yeah, that was sort of my understanding.
And that ain't going to happen.
No, not with the Republican Congress, who doesn't care about the history and health of this nation, but only cares about maintaining its own power.
Now, let's do a little thought experiment, okay?
A thought experiment?
Yep.
I don't think much.
I know. I'm encouraging you to do so right now.
Okay.
Imagine that rather than President Trump, we now had a President Hillary Clinton. Now, let's further imagine that she was the target of an FBI investigation for possible collusion with a hostile foreign power and influencing the outcome of an American election.
Okay.
Would she have been impeached already by the Republican House?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Now let's take it one step further. Let's say that she was President Hillary Clinton and there was no connection to the with Russia and possible collusion in the election. Would she still have been impeached over the email affair?
Absolutely. She's Hillary the crook. They created out of whole cloth a false image of this woman. They have been dogging this family. I mean, there's a lot of things I don't like about the Clintons, but they have been dogging this family since he was governor of Arkansas.
Right. The point I'm making is that the stench of hypocrisy coming from Capitol Hill is overwhelming. We are confronted now with a president who is a disaster on every level, who has quite possibly violated the law a number of times, and who has clearly violated the Constitution.
And he's
on
a fascist. Let's say it. He's a
yes.
fascist.
If ever there was a chief executive for whom the impeachment clause applies, it is this one.
hey, maybe he'll sue me for that, and I can put together advance defense proving he's a fascist.
Possibly.
Oh, maybe that'll happen.
And you know,
ooh, I don't have any money though.
The moral deficit here, the moral and ethical deficit on the part of the House Republicans becomes even more drastic when you consider the last time a president was impeached. Consider the difference in standards there.
Well, you mean the stained dress incident?
Yeah, apparently that was enough. But everything that's going on now, nothing to see here. Move along.
Right.
Yeah. This should bother you if you are an American with a brain.
Well, and in fact, I want to say something that's really important. We're kidding around and we're not exaggerating, but pointing out absurdities of this new administration. The thing that everybody has to realize is while it might be fun to do this, it ain't fun in reality for ordinary people. And in fact, actual basic freedoms are seriously in danger. And it's not enough to protest. It's good to protest. It's good to go into the street. It's good to argue these issues in all kinds of ways. But it's going to take a lot of it, much more than, say, struggling against the Vietnam War or building a civil rights movement.
Yes, although there are encouraging signs all over.
Oh, yeah.
The horrible, horrible Republican health care bill was, again, defeated.
Yeah, I can't believe
yesterday.
It. They were so close. So close.
And why did that happen? Public pressure.
Well, also the stupidity of what they put together.
Well, yeah, that
too. Too naked, too obvious. Let's take the money away from people. Let's destroy Social Security. Let's destroy retirement.
And
Let's
Medicaid.
Give it the money to the very rich. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it appears that that most people are unwilling to buy that particular sleight of hand anymore.
Right.
And I'm very glad to see it. All right, let's go back to the phones. Hugh, good morning.
Good morning. The extent to which the Russians may have interfered in the last election is a bad thing, should be condemned and resisted. But a note of restraint should also be sounded. At last count, the U.S. has interfered in the elections of, or the political processes of, around 80 countries.
That's a good point.
Therefore, absolutely.
Therefore, all this tremendous agitation and self-righteous chest-pounding in Washington and throughout much of the media is hypocrisy on steroids.
No, I agree with you.
If you prefer a milder expression, it's astroturf ethics.
That's nice. That's good. I like that.
But we must remember who we are, we Americans, when we sound these loud, self-righteous protests.
I absolutely agree with you. It doesn't mean, let me put my two cents in here. It does not mean that we ought not to oppose this and point out the terribleness of it.
Correct.
But you're right. In fact, the United States has acted as an imperialist power all over the world since World War II, very much so, and in fact has interfered in all kinds of things at the most gross levels, including the murder of Pinochet in Chile.
Fine. But why start at World War II? Go right back to the beginning of the 20th century, the Teddy Roosevelt era.
You're right. Actually, the seizing of the Philippines, the war with Spain, which was absolutely a fakey thing to start.
Yeah.
And our grabbing Puerto Rico and Cuba.
Haiti. The Panama Canal.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, we take your point.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. It's a very good point.
Yeah. Now, we can only hope, and I don't hold out very much hope on this at all, is that consideration of Russian election tampering will lead to a broader revelation of our own meddling in elections.
I'm with you on that.
And there's a really important thing to understand about why it's so easy to do this. The entire American educational system is a nationalistic, biased-based thing. I learned in school that slavery really wasn't so bad because black people, after all, can work well in the sun. Right. I mean, this is the worst kind of stupid white racist rationalization ever.
Sure.
And we at that time were taught that everything that happened in American history was to the good of the nation.
Yes.
Anyway, well, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call and for the reminder. We you're right. We absolutely have to bear that in mind.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe it's karma. Yeah. Do you believe in karma?
Maybe.
No.
But also I must note that's not what I learned about slavery.
Really?
And I did not learn that there was a distinctly nationalist bent to the history I learned, but it was not free of criticism.
Where did you go to school?
I went to public school in California, just like you did.
I went to public school in California.
Yeah, but maybe there's just a difference.
Southern California might be different than Sacramento.
There was also a gap of some decades there.
Good point.
Yeah.
But rub it in.
I'm just making that observation.
Okay.
Let's go back to the phones. Pear, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, it's not karma. I think maybe the Russians are paying us back for inflicting Boris Yeltsin on them. You know, he's just as bad as Trump. But anyway, my
well, Trump is not a drunk. Yeltsin was.
My question is this. You know, apparently the leaks were two. There was one leak about Hillary's speeches before the, you know, the Wall Street guys, and the other leak had to do with the DNC kind of sabotaging Bernie Sanders. And so, as far as I can understand, none of those leaks were false. They were not lies. They were true.
Well, you know, I think...
So, in other words, we are digging... If the Russians were responsible, which I still wonder about, but anyway, those leaks are all true information that the American people had a right to know about.
Well, that's an interesting point. It would be fine if it happened within the press corps of the United States. The fact that it was done clearly with a motive, Putin hates, I mean, personally hated and hates Hillary.
I don't know about that.
I do. He said it.
Can you quote him on that?
No, because I can't remember.
I mean, he's criticized her for sure, but I don't know. Did he hate her?
Yeah, I think I can say that with a reasonable degree of...
He's been around putting pins in a Hillary doll or something?
Or? No, every night, before he goes to bed, he pokes pins in the Hillary doll.
Well, anyway, the other thing about, you know, it wasn't 17 intelligence agencies. It was down to 3 or maybe 4. The other ones were kind of, they weren't involved at all. And are you familiar? You read Robert Perry's stuff in the Consortium News?
I don't always, but I have.
Oh, you should. I really recommend him. And Ray McGovern.
Yes, those are both good choices.
And one thing McGovern says is that it was just 3 agencies, was sort of handpicked people involved. So it was a different. It was not just a bunch of intelligence agencies really chewing over the facts and coming up with a conclusion. This is kind of...
Wait, Per, let me get this straight. Are you saying that maybe the Russians didn't really mess with the election?
The Russians hacked our election. They hacked our intelligence. Because every intelligence agency does that. That's what hacking is. You know. But I don't see any evidence that the Russians leaked... You know, in other words, it would make sense for Putin, if Putin is responsible... It would make sense to hang on to that information and use it privately. But so hacking and leaking are two different things.
Well, okay, I'm not going to argue about that particular
distinction. Everybody hacks. That's what intelligence agencies do.
And, well, when I'm sick, I hack phlegm.
But the thing is that the leaking, and according to people involved in this, the leaking was some disgruntled DNC person, which is still possible.
Yeah, I think what you're saying, and just looking at it neutrally, is that this is a much more complex situation than simply bad Russians.
Right.
That, but that does not take away from the need to investigate this and the great likelihood, given what we know out of the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, etc., about Putin's interest in the United States and other countries, the election in the Netherlands, and a little bit in France, and I can go on and on.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think there should be an investigation, but it should be complete, a complete and thorough investigation, not some kind of...
Okay. I think nobody here would argue with that.
Yeah, we're going to leave it there. Hey, thank you, Pear, for the call. All right, coming up this morning on KBOO at 9 on Alternative Radio, author Michael Parenti speaks on conspiracy and class power. At 10,
Good for us. He's great.
Yep. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, on stage in studio, D.M.A. Roberts welcomes Kevin Jones, the artistic director of the August Wilson Red Door Project, and their groundbreaking touring production of Hands Up, 7 Playwrights, 7 Testaments. At 11:30, Art Focus interviews painter Pat Boas about her work in the show New Modernism at Elizabeth Leach Gallery and how artists are looking back at 20th century abstract art to remake it in a new context. All this and more coming up today on KBOO.
What a great station.
All right. Dean writes to the Twitter machine, that's Honest Abe, @HonestAbe72, to say, hey, Please thank Joe for the new word, Trumpy.
Okay, well, I'll take credit for it, but I don't think I thought it up.
Christopher writes to the Facebook page, facebook.com/Abe and Joe, to note the real impact of Trump will be a far-right Supreme Court far into the future.
That'll be part of it, but also the changes in regulations and rules. It's just going to be to unwind it, even if we could.
Yeah, well, you can.
So difficult.
You can unwind regulations and rules. You can't.
Can't go away. Can't get rid of this.
Well, you know.
Pardon me.
The Constitution does provide for the impeachment of Supreme Court justices, but the circumstances would have to be so extreme.
Well, then look at the situation.
Yes. Susan writes into the Facebook page to say, among all the issues you have mentioned, these two Trumpy things concern me the most. You have alluded to both. However, I offer these again for emphasis. First, the law is there to be manipulated to one's own end, especially if one is financially privileged. This right to interpret the law to further one's end seems to pervade his entire family. Second, women are valued only for their physical appearance. The president seems incapable of further insight into half the human race. The one possible exception, his daughters.
Yeah, which he implied in a weird way. It's so creepy, I can't hardly believe it, that he wanted to be...
Yeah, his daughter, what a great body. Yeah. If she wasn't my daughter, I'd be dating her.
It was like incest talk.
Right. You see, but Hillary's moral failings were just too much to bear. They're too much. Okay, I want to move on to another category of horrible things that this president has done.
What fun.
Yeah. First, I would say he has done manifest harm to pro-democracy movements, pro-transparency movements, both here and abroad.
Oh, yes.
Protesters took to the streets early in his term in both Belarus and Russia, demanding democratic reforms, and he made no statements in support of them. He, in fact, made statements in support of President Putin.
Imagine
which,
that.
With whom he seems to have a budding bromance. There are protests all over the world in favor of democracy and against authoritarian regimes, and he so far has supported absolutely none of them. And when protesters have taken to the streets here, he has offered no words of potential conciliation. He has offered no indication that he will even consider the demands or the statements made by his opposition.
Well,
none.
Well, look, he goes to Saudi Arabia, which is not only a monarchical religiously based dictatorship, but is a dictatorship extending its power using weapons which we provide them to blast other peoples and to silence news, to silence the most important news agency out of that part of the world.
Yeah. He's publicly endorsed and embraced people like al-Sisi, the president of Egypt, an autocrat and a violent one.
Yeah.
He called to congratulate President Erdogan of Turkey for his election victory.
Another fascist.
Yes. And until his inner circle warned him off and said it was a bad idea, he invited the president of the Philippines, a murderer, to come to the White House.
And let's be clear, a recognized murderer.
Yes.
Not something to debate.
And all this adds up to a pattern. Who are the people that Trump admires?
Dictators.
Autocrats.
Yes.
These are the kinds of people that get his juices flowing. Especially Vlad. Dreamy. Vlad is dreamy.
Dreaming of Vlad.
Let's go to the phones. Who's next? Who do we have? Barth, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
What bothers me so much about the Trumps at all is that they're just so blatant. They think that it's perfectly okay to get these people with no qualifications or completely contrary views to run departments in the government.
Well,
people that the education chief that doesn't want public education, period. The EPA director that believes the EPA should be disbanded. I mean, there's many, many examples of this.
Well, no, it's really true. And all of this, by the way, goes to the philosophy of Steve Bannon, who wants to disintegrate centralized government.
Right. Well, there's a lot to unpack in just the people he keeps close.
Yeah, yeah.
Where did they come from? I mean, there's information out there, and it's none of it's good. It's like the bumper sticker, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. It's just so direct.
Well, and again, I want to emphasize this. It's not enough for us to reveal all this. It's not enough for you and others to be very angry. It's not even enough to be in the street. It's going to take a huge, massive citizen movement, not Democratic, not Republican, but all of us, making every effort to get rid of this highly fascistic kind of government. We have to do it, or we're lost.
I agree with you, but the other part of this is that they're starting to turn on each other internally, apparently.
Well, that's good. That's good. I like that. I like it when gangsters fight amongst themselves.
Well, you know, or thieves of any ilk or incompetence of any ilk, you know, that they don't want to be. It's been described as an internal firing squad where everybody's shooting at each other because
in a circle, in a great, I think it's called a
circular
fire. Yes, there you go. Because the legal penalties are starting to loom large, and generally speaking, the courts have not buckled under to some of the ridiculous assertions of this government.
Yeah, that's all well and good until it eventually works its way to the Supreme Court, which is absolutely, absolutely the worst, aside from, what, three members, absolutely the worst Supreme Court we've ever had in modern times. Very much like the Supreme Courts just post-Civil War or just pre-Civil War.
Well, yeah, historically most people wouldn't have a good grasp of that, but it's evident that ideology, if you'll excuse me, trumps reality.
Yeah, let's use the Trump word a lot.
If he was, you know, anybody else, and he didn't have all the baggage of his fame or the momentum of his, you know, notoriety, people would have laughed. People would have just dismissed him out of hand.
The main mistake I think a lot of us made was to think it was funny and not worry about it right before he really ran for serious, and not understanding the deep and in many cases righteously correct anger of working people at the failings of the system, even with who was basically a very good president, Barack Obama. It has been, and I date this from Ronald Reagan, but I could also include Clinton. We have seen, I said this earlier, but I want to emphasize that we've seen a destruction of organized labor, which directly parallels the decrease in legitimate wages of working people all over the nation.
Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. John writes in to say, a possible reason the GOP needs the Oval Office occupant is the primary concept motivating every con artist, which is distraction. While the White House clown show is drawing all the energy and attention of the press, they shovel a whole host of ALEC-inspired bills benefiting the death industries, military, fossil fuels, insurance, the classic three-card Monty where working Americans lose.
Well, I actually agree. I don't know about three-card money. That's a very specific kind of game, but it does involve distraction.
It's a metaphor.
Okay.
It's a metaphor. Okay. You're right. We didn't have enough time for all of this today.
Well, we have to do more. We can never stop.
I want to close things out by making one more observation, and this one is one that can't really be quantified, and that is the sheer embarrassment of having this man in office. He's the president of the United States. He, love him or hate him, represents all of us. And he does things like tells the French First Lady how hot she is.
Unbelievable.
He does things like the other day in France, he's giving a press conference and he says, a lot of people don't know this, but France is our first and oldest ally. Well, everybody knows that. You're an idiot. You're the only one who doesn't know that. School children know that.
Right.
He is an embarrassment and I'm tired of it.
Wow, you really angry.
Yes. Woo. Yes, it is shameful. It is shameful. Every time I speak to someone visiting from abroad, there's a big chunk of the initial part of the conversation that it revolves around me establishing firmly that this guy doesn't enjoy the support of most of us, that most of us think he's a fool.
Okay, this is a good way to end.
Yeah,
we'll do more of this. We are the only disappointment in this show, as far as I'm concerned, was we didn't have any women. I don't think, did we?
No.
Yeah, and I don't like that. Okay, so anyway, you all stay tuned. Remember, KBOO, the best in music as well as information.
It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there.
Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Real Cool Film Series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month, Dingo, is showing Tuesday, July 18th at 7 p.m. Miles Davis made his only acting appearance in this film about a jazz trumpeter who dares to realize his musical dreams in the Australian outback. The film also has an award-winning Miles Davis soundtrack.
Did you like the music?
Again, that's Dingo, showing Tuesday, July 18th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Gotta go now, John, before they take off and leave me. Nice meeting you.
KBOO Portland. Good morning, KBOO listeners. This morning on The Boo, coming up at 10 is Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on stage and studio, Dime Roberts welcomes Kevin Jones, the artistic director of the August Wilson Red Door Project, and their groundbreaking touring production of Hands Up, Seven Playwrights, Seven Testaments. And at 11:30, Art Focus interviews painter Pat Boas about her